All right, it is the third Wednesday in December. Year has gone by really fast, and we're with our last show with Mayor John Hamilton from Bloomington for 2017. As always, thanks again so much for having us.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be with you.
We're a little different today. We're in the studios at WFIU, WTIU, so you were here doing a live noon edition today on the development of downtown. We'll get to a little bit more of that in a bit, but I wanted to start with the convention center. The 1% food and beverage tax is approved. The new county parking garage is built. There's a hotel developer that is looking at investing half of this total cost for a new convention center. It seems like a lot more has come together this year than the previous attempts to get this off the ground. Would you agree?
Yes, I do, Joe. It was a very big step last week. I've been talking about the importance of the convention center for downtown. I've been talking about it for a couple of years, three probably, but the community's been talking about it for a long time, 10 or 20 years, some people. We have a great destination for people to come to meetings in Bloomington as a community. But we have the smallest convention center in the state. So I'm really proud of the county colleagues that voted last week. It was a close vote to do the funding that will support the convention center. And that's a bar and restaurant tax, as I call it. It's a 1% tax on bar and restaurant food and drink that will help support a huge investment in our downtown.
So right now it's moving forward. It's only been a couple days, but what's next in this whole process?
Yes, so once the tax was voted on, that starts the process to offer the funding mechanism. And now the next steps will be to identify the right partners. We've been talking to one hotelier who's expressed an interest. In my view, we need to make sure we're talking to whomever's out there who might be interested in that. We'll continue to talk to the one developer, but this is a 50-year project for the community, so we got to get it right. We'll be working with the county, other folks, interested parties in this. It's a complicated place with city land and county land and private land and a whole mix of things that we'll be working on. I do think it's a great opportunity to have this downtown. That's one of the most important things, is making sure that for the next generation plus, the conventions are right in the heart of downtown, because that's going to support the vibrancy of our gem of a downtown.
So you bring us to downtown, and that's been in the news a lot lately, especially with a new ordinance that takes a look at density and height of buildings and kind of, I guess, raises a flag, so to speak, for those developments to have further review. Does your desire for this convention center, though, somewhat conflict, though, with your thoughts of downtown and a growing downtown?
Well, I don't really think so, Joe. I think they really work together well. The Unified Development Ordinance, the downtown height and density, it's kind of technical. There's a lot of technical aspects to zoning and development and all that. But the fundamental is this. We're working with a zoning code that is 15 years old. And the rules that were set have been in place for 15 years. We know we're going to get a new code probably in 2018 as the City Council, the Plan Commission develop a new code, and it's going to be different. And the transition period is tricky. Some cities, as you're approaching the new code, you see people saying, hey, I like the old code better. Let me build according to the old code. And you can get a push to do some things that are inconsistent with where we're headed. So what we've tried to do is just get in place a transition interim UDO that will help us assure that in the next 12 months or 16 months, whatever it takes, we don't have a bunch of building happen that will not be consistent with the direction we all believe we're headed. The development community, some of them are not happy because they know the old code and they like the old code and they like some of that better than the new code and they want to proceed with that. But when you know where you're headed, it's better to transition to that more quickly so that you don't end up with buildings built in the last 12 months that are going to last 50 years, not consistent with the new code.
But are you worried that message of that type of density and height would drive away some economic development, especially when people who are looking to come to the convention center or the trades district or the redevelopment of the IU Health Hospital?
Right. So that's a great question. So that's one of the technicalities of this. What we say, I believe Bloomington needs good density and good quality buildings of some height. It's going to vary where they should be and how the quality and all that stuff needs to be worked out. This is not a provision that says we don't want height, we don't want density. What this is a provision that says we don't want you to build a really tall building or a very dense building automatically with no control from the city side. We want to make sure that if you want to do density, if you want to do height, significant density, you come talk to us and we make sure what you're doing is consistent with the goals of the new code. So it's a good question because, look, the convention center is going to encourage some downtown development. And we have new businesses expanding, Cook and Catalent and Baxter and others, and they have employees who want to live here. We need more investment. It's just got to be the right kind. And that's what this tries to protect.
And we have a whole hour about this conversation that you can look up on a special noon edition live that we did earlier today. We did have a couple questions I wanted to get to. Anthony on Twitter asks, has the idea of sealing Kirkwood from Indiana to Dunn or Washington Street ever been considered? And I'm going to add, he put in hashtag pavers and landscaping.
Well, yes. The question of Kirkwood, which, you know, is our, it's our beautiful street connecting IU and downtown and so vibrant and so emblematic of Bloomington, how to handle that street comes up all the time. Even this year, we had at least two instances I know of that were not in the typical run where we closed Kirkwood for a period of time. One was for Nick's 90th birthday celebration. They closed a couple blocks of Kirkwood and had a great party and people loved it. Another was the demonstration of an autonomous vehicle where we closed Kirkwood from Sample Gates to about Washington Street or so. To show what it would be like with an autonomous vehicle and electric bikes, and people love that too. So there's a lot of appeal thinking about what it would mean to have a more pedestrian Kirkwood. On the other hand, there are people who worry about what would that do to the businesses there, what it would do to mobility. Kirkwood's not a through street, so that's kind of helpful to remember. You don't run long distances on that street, but it's a key one. I think it's a topic people can keep thinking about. You know, cities thrive when people love the streetscapes, when they want to walk, when they want to bicycle, when they want to hang out on the street. You go to cities around the world and you want to be in places where they're full of people. So Kirkwood is like that. It probably won't be the same in 20 years as it is today. So let's talk about what it ought to be.
And Sue wrote in an email today too, just asking, please address the problem of double parking by delivery trucks that block traffic at multi-unit buildings.
Yeah. Well, and that's a really big problem during Christmas, I bet. And there are UPS and FedEx and Postal Service trucks going like crazy delivering all the packages that people ask for. Though I do encourage you to go down and shop local. That's really a key thing and good thing to do. Well, we always try to balance that. You know, this is a vibrant, growing city full of commerce and delivery trucks come in and out. We're always open to suggestions about how to make sure that's as easy to do as possible, but some of that's kind of the bustle of city living, I guess, too.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to get your take of the HT story on the Parking Commission's first report. This came out a few weeks ago, but we haven't talked since November. It says the meter revenue, not enough to subsidize garages and other parking maintenance, but yet we still hear from business owners that say it's some of the most expensive parking in the state. My question was, is it normal for a city to subsidize or eat up parking costs, or is that just part of a city?
Well, most cities invest money in parking, just like they invest money in streets and sidewalks and sewers and other things. We are in the midst of a pretty major parking review study. We know we've got a lot of pieces of the puzzle. We have garages, we have street parking, we have meters, we have neighborhood parking, zone parking, all that stuff mixes and mingles. And we also know people are changing how they use cars. Now with Uber and Lyft and with more bicycling, and by the way, we may want to talk about the spring, what we hope will be is a new bicycle share program. But all that's changing, and with autonomous vehicles as they come, we really need to think about the parking, whole parking infrastructure that we have in the city. We do subsidize it. Should we keep subsidizing it? How much should we do it? how much should Parkers pay for everything is really a part of a big mix of a study that 2018 will have a lot of conversation about that.
Well, and also in 2018, the meter's lease is paid off. Is that correct?
That's right.
So where does the city go from there? I mean, that's a new source of revenue too then.
It is a net source of revenue. We're still studying the meters, the actual physical meters, how well they're working. I'm not satisfied yet that we have that under control. They were bought before I came in. They were bought a little budget choice about used housing and other things. So we're still trying to evaluate, are they the right meters? And this parking study will help us look at all those factors together.
The city undertaking a survey of street pavement, sidewalks, signage with a company that uses a detection technology to better and more quickly report on conditions. I've never seen this before.
This is cool, Joe. This is the new era. So one of the things when I came into office I found we did not have in the quality that I thought we needed was what is the quality block by block, foot by foot of our streets and our sidewalks? Because we really need to know that to manage it in the long run. The city owns hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of assets, and we need to know their quality. To do that in the old style meant we had to have people walking and driving every block, every foot, and noting what the quality was. The new technology, if you think kind of like a Google Maps car that's going around and looking at all this stuff, the new technology can do this with vehicles that create that information much more quickly, much more efficiently, that will let us know, well, where are the sidewalks in the greatest need? Where are the roads in the greatest need? Making sure we can manage our maintenance and replacement more efficiently. So I'm very pleased with it. Adam Wason at the Public Works Department and Joe Vandeventer at Streets are pushing this forward. So if you see a weird-looking vehicle going down your street with lots of bells and whistles and bulbs and different things, that's what it is.
How about a bicentennial update? I know we talked a little bit about it in November, but I'm sure a lot more has came out.
We are very excited, Joe. Of course, we're just a couple weeks away from our bicentennial year, 1818. There's a big event. If anybody can join us in City Hall, we'll have a very family-friendly event down at City Hall, New Year's Eve, Sunday, December 31st, from 5 to 7:30. Lots of fun kicking off the year. I also have recently announced a real focus on the bicentennial. We have a lot of fun events, noting things with the county and with the city. We're both turning 200. But we're also going to make some major investments, and in particular in trees and in trails. Thinking about how do we invest in the community so that 20 years from now and 50 years from now and 100 years from now, people will notice that what we did at the bicentennial made it a better city. So there's a big description of some really interesting trail projects to create more connectivity to Griffey through Cascades, all around the city, east-west, a bunch of different things we're looking at. And then the trees, you know, when you plant a tree today, you're creating something of value for 50 years from now and maybe 100 years from now. So we're going to be doing a lot to enhance what is already a great tree city, but it can be better.
It's our last show of 2017, kind of just looking back over this past year. Maybe what are the three big events that kind of redefined or shaped Bloomington in 2017?
Well, I didn't prepare for that question. I was like, I gotta think about it. But you know, as mayor, you spend a lot of time kind of day to day responding to various things, but you also do work hard on longer term issues. I do think the convention center is a big step that people 20 years from now and 40 years from now will say that was an important thing we did. The big announcement and expansion that Cook Group did to grow their company, to double down on Bloomington, to say we're here, we're deepening our roots here. The sale of a $1 billion sale to Catalent to have a third major life sciences company come into town, I think, was real important. And then I think I would have to say, too, I think we've chipped away at the housing affordability problem. This is not a problem we're going to solve in 1 year or 2 years or 4 years, but we have a few hundred more affordable units in the pipeline than we did at the start of the year. And that's really important because Bloomington's a great community. And we need to make sure it stays available to people of all walks of life, whether you make a lot of money or you make no money, whether you're a student or whether you're a young family or whether you're a retiree. And we got to make sure our physical housing supports all that. So I'm proud that we've made progress on that. And 2018 is going to be an exciting bicentennial year. We'll have a lot more to talk about then. Happy holidays. Hope you have a good
New Year's.
Happy
holidays to
you. Come down
and
see us at City Hall.
Right.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.